Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
This is a clip of Anthony Scaramucci, who's been filling many of the headlines in the last 24 hours. But this is him in 2015. He's on Fox News, on Fox Business, and he's asked the question, what do you think of Donald Trump?
But that's another hack politician.
You call Donald Trump a hack?
He's a hack politician.
Oh, you're in
trouble.
He's
probably going to make Elizabeth Warren his vice presidential nominee with comments like that.
Do you think he's a
plant? Anti-American. It's very, very divisive.
Do you think Donald's a plant?
And I'll tell you who he's going to be president of. You can tell Donald I said this. The Queens County Bullies Association. You got to cut it out now and stop all this crazy rhetoric. And you know what? The politicians don't want to go at Trump because he's got a big mouth and he's afraid he's going to light him up on Fox News and all these other places. But I'm not a politician.
Why is he resonating, dude?
From Queens County, bring it, Donald.
You're close to walking.
There you go. Anthony Scaramucci, by the way, is a graduate of Harvard, and this week Harvard College listed him as an alumni, but mistakenly claimed that he was dead. And that's not the worst thing that's happened to him this week. To the now former White House communications director on the line is Brian Karam, a White House reporter for Playboy and executive editor with Sentinel Newspapers. Brian, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
Working in the White House, do you kind of get up in the morning and think, well, I've seen it all now, they can't surprise me, and then they do?
I walk into the White House every day thinking it cannot get any stranger than it was yesterday, and every day I am wrong. I've aged probably 6 years and 6 months. I have never seen anything like this White House.
Scaramucci himself, since he took over and left the job during that period where he actually had the job, did the White House press corps have any contact with him? Did he come out and chat to you or anything?
I had contact with him like on two or three occasions, and to be honest with you, he got fired before he got hired. He wasn't really supposed to be in the White House till August 15th. He hadn't been vetted, he hadn't sold his companies, and he hadn't taken an oath of office. So he wasn't actually officially, and he was making no money, so he actually officially wasn't on staff. So they canned him before they hired him, which has to be some kind of record somewhere on the planet. I mean, retroactively firing someone. And so we had seen him on a couple of occasions. The first time I saw him was in the briefing where they said he was going to be the incoming communications director, and he took a lot of questions, and I asked him a question then, and he couldn't really answer it too well. And then we saw him walking up and down in front of the White House a couple of times, and I caught him in the upper press area coming out of an office. And, he was a lot of thunder and lightning and bombast, and in the end, it kind of bit him in his posterior region.
Yes. In that short period, Brian, what impression did you have of him? Did you think this guy might be an improvement on what was there before?
No, I just thought it was another example of kabuki theater. I was amazed. I was like, okay, who else are they going to pull out of the woodwork to come and talk to us? Their comms staff is completely in disarray. They have no idea how to present a message and keep it on point. They've been too busy trying to play defense because of the Russian allegations and some other events that have occurred that show a conflict of interest between the business side of Donald Trump's empire and him as president. So they've kind of thrown this out at us as a distraction. And mind you, everyone enjoys good theater every once in a while, but at some point in time, it's like watching a Transformer movie. You know that it's cartoon quiche, and at the end of the day, you want a little bit of substance.
And I know, obviously, it's the job of the assembled reporters among the press corps to give whoever the spokesperson is on the day, you know, to subject them to rigorous questioning. Did you feel pity in your heart for whoever had to come out and tell you that Scaramucci was gone?
No. Not at all, because they've been so bad at disseminating information to us. You have to understand, this president has had only one full news conference in 6 months. And consequently, the only way we've had any contact with the guy that we're actually covering is through their daily briefings. And they have become nothing more than sideshows. I mean, they had, you know, I'm waiting for letters from Santa and you know, the circus element. I mean, they've trotted out, you know, letters from a nine-year-old boy claiming how much he loved, you know, the president. They bring out every day the briefing gets later, every day it gets shorter, they take fewer questions. It's simply theater of the absurd. And sometimes I feel I'm a participant in something that's really contrary to the foundings of our republic.
Who is doing the briefings nowadays?
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the one I got in an argument with, she is doing the briefings, and they have degenerated, as I said, into, you know, just merely theater and sideshow productions with no answering. They don't really answer questions. They get upset by stating, hey, as we've already said, you know, we think we've made it abundantly clear, and they haven't made anything abundantly clear. There's nothing clearer than mud coming out of the White House.
Mm. This administration took over, they moved the chairs, as I understand it, literally, and made room for some news outlets that were far more sympathetic towards President Trump. Do those people still ask those fawning questions, or do even they not get a look in now?
Well, that's a really cogent observation there. She continues. Now, when Sean Spicer was doing it, he was much more democratic in seeking people to ask questions, and so he got some of the hard questions. When she took over, it's mainly the people that she feels are friendly towards the administration that she asks, you know, that she calls on for them to ask questions. And even them, even those people are asking some of the tougher questions. So they're getting really no quarter from anyone, and it's frustrating them because they so desperately want to manipulate the conversation. But it's like, to me, standing in there, it's like how you discipline your 5-year old. It's like, all right, stop it. I asked you who knocked over the furniture. Yeah, who did it?
You mentioned Sean Spicer there, and Scaramucci was fired before he was actually officially hired. Sean Spicer is still there.
Yeah, I asked him yesterday if he was going to stick around now, and he just kind of laughed and shook his head. Who knows? He's got a month. He's not supposed to be gone until the end of August. Scaramucci was brought in, and Spicer left because of Scaramucci. I mean, and again, this reminds me of a bunch of kids playing in the dirt, and they can't get along. And it's like, hey, I told you, be good, and none of them want to play nice. And part of that goes up to the top. That's because the president loves to pit his people against each other, and that kind of has that brings a difficulty to government. I mean, it's the most childlike government I've ever witnessed, and it's despotic. It's not even, you know, we're supposed to be the cradle of democracy in the United States, and it looks like I'm watching a kindergarten class, you know, playing in the sand on the beach. And unfortunately, they all have nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Speaking of nuclear weapons, when Scaramucci did that phoner interview with the New Yorker, which bizarrely, for some reason, he thought the reporter wouldn't report. I don't know why he thought that. But he seemed to blame Rince Priebus for everything, that he was the leak in the White House. Rince Priebus is now gone. But it seems as if, would it be fair to say that the leaks are continuing?
Well, I've never seen an administration so porous. Everybody is leaking. Everybody wants to leave. You know, they talked about yesterday in the press briefing, aren't you concerned about all these people leaving? She goes, well, we're just going for it. We care about the jobs for the American people. I go, well, that's nice and fine and dandy, but how are you going to help out the American people when you got nobody in office and nobody who wants to work for this guy? It's, they're fleeing like rats, you know, that's a cliche, but it's true. They're fleeing like rats from a sinking ship. And while they're leaving, everybody's talking, it stinks in here, and they're running. And that's, I, I, honestly have never seen anything like it. It's on one hand, I laugh. I mean, if I didn't laugh, I'd cry. But on the other hand, it's so very, very disheartening to see a government that's supposed to be by and for the people destroyed by one person. And it's disheartening on many levels.
Does this, and also is it a bit, I mean, and not just for yourself, but for your colleagues in the press corps there going to these daily briefings, not getting an answer to anything, not even getting basic information, is it worth going to them anymore from your point of view professionally?
Well, yes, and here's why. If you don't go, they win. It's not the matter, especially when they're on camera. It's not even getting the questions answered. It's putting the questions out there so others hear it. And that's why they need to be on camera, because I'm already resolved that I'm not going to get my questions answered. But when I ask the question and millions of other people hear the question, then they can seek answers and understand why we're frustrated as well. And that has come home to roost on many occasions. You cannot, since this president will not make himself available to the press and only does so through proxy, then you must show up when the proxy is there, if for no other reason, to make that question heard. And I got news for you. There's that when they're out there speaking in the press briefing, they're speaking for an audience of one, the President of the United States, who sits in his office and watches this press briefing. So it's important that we ask the questions so that he hears us asking the questions. I know daggone well who's watching, and it's him. Mm. And so he must hear us ask the questions.
Mm. Has anything been said to the press corps, to yourself and your colleagues, about General John Kelly? Will you be getting to ask him any questions, for instance?
I'm sure he'll make himself available more than the president, but who knows? Early in the game.
Yeah,
his first day was yesterday, and he hasn't been fired yet. So we'll sit around and see what happens.
Well, there seems to be a kind of a view in him that he, you know, he's a fairly straight talking guy, and he might go in and kick some ass.
Well, that would be interesting to see. There's quite a bit. That would be, if he has to go in and kick some butt, that's going to be a long day for him, because pretty much everybody in that White House needs to have their butt kicked or spanked, sent to the corner, watch them cry.
That'll be an interesting photo opportunity. Brian, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That's Brian J. Karam, White House reporter with Playboy and executive editor with the Sentinel newspapers.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.